Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Oh, thank you. Gather together in the name of Jesus. We need to be improved by your word. Thank you. Thank you. Inside understanding is granted unto us. The word comes to us in simplicity and in power. And we act on the word immediately. We receive the wisdom from the word. We know what to do. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say louder, amen. Say glory. Hallelujah. You can have your seat, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was thinking this is the fastest MMCM also that I have ever attended, because before I knew what was happening, it's 3 o'clock already. Praise the Lord. Now, we learned early in the morning that Christ is our wisdom. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And one of the most beautiful things we saw, by accident really, because I wasn't even going to talk about that. So I saw it by accident, maybe you already knew. But that God has chosen things which are not to bring to naught things that are. So whatever is real and tangible, are you in this place? The only way to disintegrate it is to use that which is invisible, which is the word of God. Are you seeing that? There's no other way. Praise the Lord. So, like we learned, your situation might be real and tangible right now. So how do you deal with it? You use the word. You see the invisible. Praise the Lord. It might not look like it. But that it doesn't look like is what God wants you to proclaim and use to change your situation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm growing like the lily. Your dew is upon me. My branches are spreading. See what you've done. Like the olive tree. Like the olive tree. You've anointed me. Given me beauty.
Given me beauty.
See what you've done. Hold on. I'm only singing it because. See what you've done for me. Others might not see it, but I see it. Are you seeing that? With the eyes of the Spirit, I see it. So people might ask, where is it? Oh, I can see it. Can't you see it? I'm growing like the lily.
Your dew is upon me. My branches are spreading. See what you've done.
See your family, come on.
Like the olive tree. You've anointed me. Given me beauty. See what you've done.
Last time.
I'm growing like a lily.
Are you growing like a lily?
Lord, you is upon me. See what you've done. Like the olive tree. You've anointed me. Given me beauty.
For ashes.
See what you've done.
Hallelujah. You can have your seat. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See what he has done. So today, let's look at something this evening. All right? I want to talk about something, quite a detour. What does he want from us? Right? We said God will talk to you. God will give you what you want. You. But what does he want? Right? What does he want from you? Did you ask him? Or you only wrote your own expectations? Did you ask him of his own expectation? Who asked him of his own expectation? Lord, what would you have me do? Someone can say my expectation was his expectation. Praise the Lord. I know you guys are very spiritual, very smart. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so what does he want from us? What does he want from us? There's the generic knowledge, what he wants from every Christian. So when you pay attention to that, you can find out what he wants from you. Praise the Lord. What does he want? He wants you to know him. John 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It says, I am come that they might have. So the end really of what he wants to do, or what he came to do, was to give us. Told the Jews, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have life. He says, but they are they which testify of me. He is life. So he came, he died, he resurrected, he has given us the life. What next? What does he want? Why did he bring the life? So we would not die. Die to where? Only human beings see death the way they see death. Do you understand? I mean, God to God is just a movement. Nothing really changes. Same spirit. So why did he give us the life? Why? John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast. So Jesus said, God told him, gave him authority. The word there is exousia. He gave him authority over all flesh. Do you understand? Everybody. But amongst the everybody, there are those God gave him, like me. I am now his own. He is now taking care of me. I am a property of someone. Touch not. Who are you talking to? Well, that's great. He claims us. You know, some people say, we the clan, we do not claim you. We the country, we do not claim you. Jesus has claimed you. Right? He has claimed you. Someone says, with all these imperfections, that's why he'll give you beauty. Do you understand? He says, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast. He's talking to God. He's saying God told him to give eternal life to those he gave him. God, oh, did you see what I just saw? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So Jesus was God's gift to us, right? But now Jesus is telling us that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given. We are God's gift to him. Are you seeing that? And what did God tell him to do with these gifts that is us to give us eternal life? Why? Why? He'll tell us why. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, this is the reason he gave us life, that we would know God. You know, many people have an idea of who God is. There are many books written about God. Praise the Lord. Many ideas. But you can't know God until you have his life. You can't know someone until you live the life they are living, at least in the natural sense. Do you understand? You can't know or understand a person's situation until you walk in their shoes. Praise the Lord. When you saw that guy eating 10 wraps of eba, he said, don't judge me. Don't know what I've been through. You've not walked in his shoes. It's the same idea. God is saying, for you to really know me, you must be able to live the life that I live. Then you'd understand. Then we can talk. Do you understand? There are people that have never seen pit latrine in their life. If you're here, may you never see it. Except for studies. So if someone is talking about pit latrine, they can't relate because it's not their experience. In fact, you can read about a subject in a book. There are people that have read about the U.S., but they've never been there. They can argue about the presidents, the history of the country. They know more than Americans themselves, but they've never been there. And the truth is, any true American will look at them and hold their nose. You don't know what you're talking about. From where? Kukumaiku. You don't know. So you have to experience what someone else experiences before you really know them. At least, naturally, God thinks so too. For him to fellowship with you, for you to really know him, you must share in his life. Now that you're born again and you receive eternal life, you have received the life of God. That is eternal life. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, now walk in his shoes. Have you seen that in your Bible before? Walk in. He says, quit you like men. Oh, go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 3. For are ye not... for ye are yet carnal. Okay. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? How are we supposed to walk before? Someone say, am I not a human being? Am I not a human being? Am I not a human being? He says walking as men is a problem. How does he want you to walk? 1 John 2 verse 6. He that said he abided in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Walk in his shoes. You can now. Are you in this place? Maybe the guy learned all the history of the U.S. When he gets to the U.S., he can now experience it. Are you in this place? 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should what? Follow his steps. You can. So what does he want from you? Why did he send Jesus as a gift to you? Why did he give you as a gift to Jesus? Why did Jesus then give you eternal life that you will know him? You know, God is so wonderful. You think, why does he even need us to know him? Have you ever thought of that before? Like when he says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. Why does he need us to? He can just threaten us and we'll behave. Do you understand? Why does he want that that fellowship, that love? Because that's who he is. Now he wants you to know him beyond textbook knowledge, to walk in with him. And he so much wants it that he came to live inside of you. How close can he get? So he wants you to know him. Receiving eternal life is not so that you can escape hell, primarily. That's nice. That was needed, but that was not the goal. The goal was fellowship. Imagine they're Christians. I mean, I guess I understand, but they're still thinking, may I make heaven? May I not meet hell? May I make, oh. You know, we talked about elevating our perspective. May your perspective be elevated. May you make heaven. He says you hail from God. 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children. And of what? So how can you make where you're coming from? The Bible says, you must be born again. The word again is anothen, born from above. God claims you as his child. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So receiving eternal life is not about, Hope for it. That you get to that point in your life as a Christian. Hell is not... The only thing about hell is that others should not go there. Are you in this? It is not beaten. Your heart is... Someone says, but what if I'm sinning? That is the higher life. Go back to that. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Verse 21. Let's finish it. It says 21. Do you think you are there? That which is not. Check your Bible now. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. You there? All right. It says, for even hearing to work God, because Christ was so for us, even the example that we should walk, follow his steps. Verse 22. Who did not sin? Follow his steps, those who go and walk in Galilee. His life. Who did not sin? Is this possible? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is. It says, he that is born of God cannot sin. People struggle with that verse. They upgrade it, modify it, move it. They can't change it. So it doesn't mean cannot sin. It means cannot continue in sin. So what's the difference? There's some people wish they could tear that out of the world. It's right there. Meaning there is something about the Christian life that is beyond struggling with sin. And maybe when you get there, you will leave that life of sin. You will leave it behind. There's a higher life is calling us to. A life of fellowship. Are you in this place? John did not write, as I'm talking to you right now, that we should not sin. I'm also talking to myself. Did you hear the apostles pray? Did you hear the apostles pray? Read your Bible. Point to me where they say, we always struggle with sin. Have mercy. You never hear it. There's a higher calling. There's a higher life. Peter said, we are partakers of the divine nature. Am I not a human being? I'm not a human being. No. Divine being. If you don't accept it, it will not be your reality. This is so important. This is why most people have struggled, because they refuse to accept it. Let me give you an example. We say this, we are not moved by experience, but by the word of God. And so people agree until the experience is something they like or the experience is sin. So by the time they do something wrong, they think this is who I am. No, only God knows who you are. Are you in this place? And take that image he has given you to quench this one you are seeing. That is what it means when he says, take the things which are not and bring to naught the things that are. You must accept the one that is not, that he has said that you cannot sin. So the one that should be would come into being. You must accept. He that is born of God cannot sin. Someone says, but we can't help it. It's a lie, provable lie. The Bible says, he that offend in one point of the law has offended in all, because all the word of God is one. What does that tell you? It means that if you can keep one part, you can keep all. How many of you wake up in the morning and think, I want to go and kill somebody? Oh, it's a temptation. I must kill. Is that a temptation? Is that a temptation? So you mean you can leave that do not murder, do not kill is yours? Is that real in your life? Other things can be. Why can he not? It says because his seed, isn't he? His seed is in him. So there's a life beyond struggling with sin, trying to escape hell. There's a life of fellowship with God. That's what he wants. This sin, Jesus already died for it. Is it not enough? There is more. Are you in this place? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. This is a Christian life. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called to escape from sin. Unto the lake and Ibran Isod Igash Tivra Akizadabai. Called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. He called you to fellowship with his son. But then there is promise in that fellowship. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. You see that? One with another. When he says one, it doesn't mean fellowshipping with other Christians. No. You're walking in the light that God is in. So you're fellowshipping with God. Are you in this place? He says, while you're doing that, just fellowshipping with God, doing his word, he says, automatically, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. Praise the Lord. He'll cleanse you. Because his focus is that you fellowship with him, is that you know him. Praise the Lord. So that's what he wants from you. He wants you to know him. Know him. How do you know him? Through his word. There is no other way. Are you in this place? Through his word. You sit down. You study. The word is alive. It's a real book. That is your time. You know, your rendezvous, your dates with Jesus is the time you spend listening to him. That's what people do in dates, isn't that? Listen to one another. Great. Listening to him. Through his word. When you pray, most times you are talking to him, right? Your issues. When you read the word, he's talking to you. That's how you get to know him. That's what he wants. Praise the Lord. He didn't want servants. He wanted sons. He wanted friends. You know what true friendship is? When someone is your friend, you tell them everything. Do you remember? God called Abraham his friend. So when he was going to destroy Sodom, he said, should I not tell Abraham my friend? Right? Jesus in John 15 tells his disciples, I no more call you servants, but I call you friends. He says, why? Because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have shown you. I've told you. There are so many things he wants to tell you. There's so many things he wants to show you. There's a life you should live. And if you listen to this kind of words that I'm giving to you, you live that life. Because your quality of life is a direct result of the quality of words you hear. If I came here and I said, you know, we all struggle, I assure you, you're leaving this place to struggle. Not you. But there's a better life. Are you in this place? There's a better life. Life of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. So he wants you to know him, praise the Lord. Say thank you, Father, for the privilege of being your child. So number one, what does one friend want you to know him? Number two, remember, he said God gave us to him. Hey! That's great. No wonder he told us to cast all our cares upon him. Look at me looking like a gift to Jesus. Do you know? We have to go back and meditate on this one, right? Do you know how great that is? You know, it's like I'm thinking in Malachi 3 when he said, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, right? And the book of remembrance was written for those that fear the Lord and thought on his name. Okay, great. And then he says, they will be my jewels. That's how I'm linking it. You know what that means? I'll give you an example. If you had precious jewels, diamond, sapphire, which one again? Ruby, gold. Someone say tiara, like a Sarah. But you bought them 2 Bitcoin each, all right? And you kept them in your wardrobe in a corner, okay? And you're in the office and you hear there is fire in your house. Where's the first place your mind would go to? Your pot. Come on, your pot. Your car. Bitcoin. Why? Because it's your jewel. It's the first thing that comes to your mind. It's the first thing you want to save. It's the first thing you want to show off. It's the first thing you want to take care of. That guy finally bought a Rolls Royce. Now he can wash car. Every morning he's cleaning the car. Why? Because it's expensive. So he says that those that fear the Lord, they will be his jewels. Meaning wherever they are, they're the first people he's thinking about. They're the first one he wants to decorate. He wants to bless. He wants to deliver. How much more those of us that are his gifts from God? If someone gave me a gift, depending on who the person is, I'll take it important or not. If God gave me a gift, I must take care of it. And now Jesus said, God gave us to him. Praise the Lord. So that we would know him. Right? What's the number two? What does he want for us? He wants us, or he wants to be glorified in us. Number one, he wants us to know him. Number two, he wants to be glorified in us. Hallelujah. So go to John 17, verse 9. You like it. He says, I pray for them. Oh, hallelujah. This is great. He prayed for us before we came. This is great. He says, you know, of course, talking about, look at it. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. He says it again, right? For they are dying. So, notice this. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are dying. Verse 10. All mine are dying, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Who is the them? Us. Us. He is glorified in us. So God wants us to know him. God wants to be glorified in us. That means we must live our lives for the glory of God. We must live our lives to glorify him. How do you glorify him? How do you glorify him? You know, let God give you the definition. Talk about this as MMCM. Don't make up one in your mind. Right? Someone says you glorify him by singing. You know, they have this idea of God, this great idea of God. You glorify him by being in awe, silence in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. He should be the one to tell us how to glorify him. You don't choose how to serve God. He tells you how to do it. You don't choose how to glorify him. He tells you how to do it. Do you remember in Exodus, he tells children of Israel, I like it very much because it's very striking. Listen to me. He tells them, if you're going to build an altar for me, don't chisel it. Do you remember? Don't carve it. Don't decorate it. Use bare stone. Praise the Lord. Doesn't he want fine things? Maybe they should smooth it small. He says, don't do it. Use bare stone. Just pick, drop. That's the altar I want. I think one of the reasons, is that by the time they start carving it, it will move from stone to idol. So we are building altars, we are building, we are inspired to, this is how God now looks like. Trust the children of Israel, they would have done it. Know that snake that God told Moses to put, you know the story. They started worshiping it. So they would have done it. But my point is, that's what he said. So he tells you how to do things. It might not look good enough for him. But what will you give a God that can give himself anything? You better give him what he asks. Are you in this place? You better give him what he asks. Because whatever you think you want to give him, he probably has it already. So the one he's telling you to give him is the one he doesn't have. So give him that one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If a billionaire sends you, you to your billionaire, co-billionaire, I can't use you. If a billionaire sends someone to the market to buy a particular bottle of water for 7,000 naira, don't shout. I say, I can't use you because you're a billionaire. Don't pretend like you are not. Why? Who shouted? Are you a poor man? All right, 7,000 naira. And then the person he sends goes to the market and sees the one of 20K. And he says, you know what? He's a billionaire. Let me buy the 20K one and brings it. And the billionaire probably has it in his fridge. He has wasted his time. It looks more expensive, but it's not what is needed. So my point is, God is the one to tell you how to glorify. And has he told us how to do it? Where did he say it? Give me this. You guys are so smart. It's not in on my shoe. Give me verse. What verse? Ephesians 2:10. Where is workmanship? 3:10. No, that's 2:10. Is it workmanship greater? And how does that tell us how to glorify? Someone else. I have a gift for you. You want to check? If you Google. Don't say Ecclesiastes. First Peter what? Show, we are show for the praise of God. Eh? So what? How do we show it forth? Eh? John 15:16. What does it say? And that your fruit should remain. Hold on. I'm thinking of what he just said. I said, he tells us how to glorify him. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. All right? And I point you to go. Then, but how do we do it? How do we glorify him there? By bearing fruit. So how do you bear the fruit? And soul winning. Fruit of righteousness and soul winning. What verse would you use to link the bearing fruit to show us he meant fruit of righteousness and soul winning? He that winneth souls is wise. Is that what you're going to use? Okay. I will not accept that one for now. But you tried. Meet me after. Yeah? John 17:8. You. It's not it, but you. Came from you and that you sent me. It doesn't say how glorifying. The thing is that it's there, but you can't see it. Or you can see it. I have given them as we are one. Okay, so how do we glorify him that way? You are not adding your own. Let your light so shine. So how does the light shine? You are very close. But the thing is not there, Sha. Correct. John what? John 4 verse 23. Thank you for that verse, but no. She be able to say someone got in it, but the word is plenty. Yes? That's what you were looking for. That's where you should have started from, right? But then the question then becomes, how do we bear fruits? Yeah? So I want you to notice something. This is really great. We just journeyed from John 15, verse 16, to John 15, verse 8, to John 15, verse 7, and all of that is encapsulated in John 16, verse 14. Go to John 16, verse 13. 16, verse 13. You know, this media, you have, when you preach, you have to know what you are saying. Because you cannot think you are the one that said. It says, how be it? When he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will get into a truth. For this himself, he's just waiting to come. It's 14. He shall glorify me. Colon, explanation, how he would do it. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So what is the mind is receiving? John 14 verse 26. He'll bring to remembrance the thing that he has said. Are you in this place? So he will take Jesus' word and show us. That's how the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. He shows us Jesus. That's how you glorify him. That's how he's glorified in you. Your whole life is an expression of him. You give people his word. You show them his life. You show them his decisions. Are you in this place? That's how you glorify him. That's what he wants. Praise the Lord. That's how you do it. So what EVS quoted, John 17 verse 8. Remember in John 17 verse 1, he said, Father, you know, he was praying to God. He says, I have glorified you. I have finished the work you called me to do. Then in John 17 verse 8, he says, I have given them the words which you gave me. So how did he glorify God? Giving us God's word. How does we glorify him? Giving us his words. How do you glorify him? Giving men. That's how your light shines. Are you seeing that? He wants to be glorified in you. He wants you to be an expression of his glory. But that can't really happen if you don't know him. But if you really know him, you will glorify him. John 8 verse 55, listen to what he said. Anybody who really knows God will glorify him. He says, you have not known him. So Jesus is talking. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. He was so sure he knew God. He says, but I know him and keep his saying. You know what? I know him and I guard his words. If you know him, he will guard his words. You give his words. You maintain his words. But that's how you glorify him. If you know him, you will glorify him. Praise the Lord. Where am I going with this? What does he want? He doesn't want you to seek your own glory. He wants you to seek his own. What does that mean? It doesn't mean fighting for his glory. It means being an expression of his glory. He wants a situation where even though you feel like you know the right thing to do, because you're not seeking your own honor, but the honor that comes from God, you do what he asked you to do. Are you in this place? That's what he wants. For you to know him and express him. That's what he wants. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know him. Then show the world who he is. That's what he wants. And let me tell you something. You have to live a life where the only person that matters to you is God and his opinions. So you're not moved or bullied or pressured to perform. Are you in this place? You're not bullied or pressured to pretend. If you're living the Christian life, that's who you are. Praise the Lord. And this would help your walk of faith. Go to John 5. So the proof that you know God, because that's what he wants, is that you glorify him, you keep his word. John 5 verse 44. End with this. Listen to what Jesus says. This is important. This is important. Have you ever prayed for someone before and nothing happened? No. And you just thought, not doing that again. Has that ever happened to you before? Or you gave a word of knowledge and the place where you said, there's someone here, someone, everybody didn't. Someone here will never come out of your mouth again. Praise the Lord. Listen, don't fret. All right? It's part of life. I mean, the Christian life. Jesus himself went somewhere and he could not do miracles. He didn't kill himself. He was just shocked. Praise the Lord. And then there was a time in Mark 8, he ministered to a blind man. And normally you say, receive your sight, and they see. This one, he laid hands. What do you see? Guys, I'm seeing trees. Is that a real deliverance? Deliverance with virus. Did he stop? Is that going to be seeing trees? Get out of here. No. He laid hands again. And the man saw. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right? Okay. But you see, for someone who is so concerned about how they look to others, if you prayed once, and it seemed like nothing happened. What will happen? You will not pray again. Why? You don't want to that last embarrassment is too much. Why? Because you're seeking your glory. Is it my name I used to pray? Is it not Jesus' name? Yeah. If it's not what, is it me you should attack? What else you want to add the name? See me. Praise the Lord. But if you're seeking honor, you know, you see that service, you say, you, are you from Ogun State? Yes, okay. Are you almost dying? Yes. That's what you want. And then he goes, you, are you from Ogun State? No. You're from the north, I'm from Malawi, sir. Listen, that's good for you. Later, because at first it might not be nice. But at least you know one way God is not talking to you. Right? So if maybe you heard the Ogun State as a breeze, And the person said, it's Malawi. At least now you know. Breeze can be going, breeze out. Praise the Lord. But Jesus, I'm going somewhere with all of this, diagnoses the problem. Look at what he said. How can you believe we've received honor one of another and seeketh not the honor that cometh from God? Are you seeing it? If you're seeking honor from men, your faith would be tested and to fail. He says you can't believe. You're too concerned about men. So you can't believe that you prayed. It seemed like it did not work. But people saw you, now they are laughing. How can you go back home and believe that? I think something actually happened. You can't believe. Why? Because they laughed at you. And you're seeking their honor. If you're not seeking their honor, but the honor that comes from God, if nothing happened in the eyes of men, you know something happened. Look at Jesus. I mean, you know, Jesus' life is such an example. I've ended though, because of that. It's just an example. Because at times when you study his life, you realize that he's really not different from us in experiences. It's how he responded. Mark 11, he sees a tree. He says, no man eats fruit from you hereafter forever. He didn't whisper. He shouted it. What is that? Confidence. He says, hereafter means right now. Nobody will eat from you again. His disciples heard it. This is the man that told the man that could not walk, get up and walk, and immediately the guy stood up. Are you in this place? This is the man that told the seas, peace, be still, and immediately there was a calm. Now this same man has told the tree, no man eats fruit from you. What are you expecting? Nothing happened, no. You can imagine Peter, but no one say, no, be only us. It happens to all. You know, comfort, not be only us. So the Bible says. Now imagine if he was seeking honor from men. He would have been explained as he was going. Because they went to the temple. He would have said, that tree that I talked to. That's so fig tree they do. They don't want to stop on. It will soon die. Just wait. Give me time. But he doesn't say anything. He keeps going. And I say, let's not embarrass him. He goes to the temple. I see them busy people. Matthew would have said, transferred aggression. The Bible says he was pushing tables, blocking people. He blocked the temple door. He said, now that tree cost a fool. Then it was night. He left and went back. The tree was still standing. Ah! Peter's sleep would have been very sweet. It wasn't, you know those guys? This was Mark 11, right? It's in Mark 9 that he told some guys to cast out. They were trying to cast out an epileptic boy. Nothing happened. But Peter, James, and John, they were not there. So he came back to the room saying, hey, later he says, unbelief. See? It's not belief. This is not belief. A whole day passed. A whole Jesus talk. The tree. Who at that mountain is a tree? But guess what? He didn't talk about it. Till the next day, they were passing. He still did not talk about it. But Peter, to congratulate himself, checked out the tree. It had dried. The other said, hey! But he said, it's not that big. Have the fear of God. He says, when you speak, don't doubt in your heart. It doesn't matter what you see. So you can imagine, hey, see this picture of Jesus. See this picture of Jesus. He spoke. It seemed like nothing happened. He didn't. He says, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you have said. So he was not going to change what he said. He was keeping, no man shall eat fruit of this. So he doesn't talk about it. Goes to the temple. That's what he does. In the night, he's passing. No man shall eat food. He still believes in his heart something would happen. The next morning, and guess what the Bible exposes to us?
actually something did happen. Just was not visible. So imagine if he was seeking. That's where I'm going to. The honor that comes from men. He would have messed up. Said something. So when you live your life to give glory to his name, to glorify him, you will not care about the honor that comes from men.
Yes, Pastor.
You will give them the word and move on. Because word works. Praise the Lord. The word works. Say, the word works. Yes. The word works. John 11, they said, your friend Lazarus is sick. Your friend. They said, this sickness is not unto death. And listen, it was not strange. This is not the first time he has said it. In John 4, the Bible tells us a nobleman came to tell him about his son that was sick. Do you remember?
Yes.
And he said, except your sister, will not believe. Go, your son is fine. He went and his son was fine. In Mark 7, Seraphian woman, she said her daughter was possessed with a devil. He said, go, the devil is gone out of your daughter. She went, it was fine. So it's normal. If he says, this is not unto death, go, this is not unto death. As they go there, the man had died. Did he call Peter? Apostles come. Something is happening. I don't know what it's like. I'm saying this now. Nothing is happening. Let us pray. The power has reduced. Is that what he said?
No.
He said, Lazarus is sleeping. I'm going to wake him up. When he got to the tomb, he said, Father, thank you because I know you heard me. John 11 verse 42. I know you heard me. When he said, this sickness is not unto death, I know you heard me. Think about this. And so because you heard me, this cannot be unto death. Something would have to change. Can you believe the word like that? That even in the face of mockery, you stand your ground. Can that be you? I'm a success. But it's iTel phone you're using. Praise the Lord. So I live a different life. Someone says, all the way from Oshodi, different life. Praise the Lord. Have your seats. Doesn't matter. God's word, final. That's how you live to glorify his name. Not when you're always thinking, it's wonder. You know, have you seen people say funny things like that? And train yourself not to say it. All right? When I pray, though, I was not saying, God, please don't shame us. So, you know, Israel, descendants of Israel. God, please don't shame us. So, God, and then God did not shame us. So, God, no go shame us. So, God doesn't shame. God cannot shame. I don't need to beg him. Are you in this place? He says, this is that cornerstone that he has set. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be put to shame. Never be put to shame. Shame has been eradicated. Remember something. Hey, be inspired by this. He tells Joshua, be strong and very courageous. In the face of shame, be courageous. Still courageously declare the word. Are you in this place? In the face of, because it takes boldness. When people should laugh at you, mock you. Are you in this place? To still insist that you're going somewhere to happen. It takes boldness. That's how you live your life for the glory of God. It's not about what men think. Are you in this place? All that matters is what God thinks. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What Jesus says or thinks is the most important. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Go to John 8, verse 54. We'll end with this. Oh, look at Jesus. He finally gets to Lazarus' tomb. Still walking his faith. He says, this sickness is unto death. The guy has died. He's in his tomb. Then he says, roll the stone away.
Matter comes, no. By this time, he's smelling. That's, oh, you don't they smell too? No. Whether he's smelling or not, the word remains. That sickness is not unto death. If he's smelling, he will unsmell. Are you in this place? And she was right. The guy is already rotten. But the word, praise the Lord. 54. Listen to Jesus. If I honor myself, my honor is in the eyes of God. It means nothing. Why are you doing what you're doing? To honor yourself? It will come to nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. 55. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. I say, if you know him, you will not seek your own glory. You will seek to live for his glory. And living for his glory doesn't mean suffering and smiling. It means an expression of his word. You would insist on his word. No matter the situation, you will keep the word. And that's why he lived his life on the earth, to tell you that whatever he has faced, if you face it, it's not strange. People will mock you. The Bible says they laughed Jesus to scorn. Some of you, they've not even laughed you like that yet. Did he care? No. He was not seeking his own. How do you shame somebody that has chosen to refuse your glory? Is it that you give him shame or give him glory? He does not want your glory. So he doesn't care about your shame. All he wants is God's word. So as you're sitting here listening to me, there is more to the Christian life than always crying about sin. Always crying about God, give me, give me, give me. That's why we learned meditation. If you focus on him, he already promised. This thing is not even whining you. He already said it. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he says everything everybody's looking for, he knows. Hand it to you. And you don't have to live. So this is not, you don't have to live the life others are living. It says there's the hidden wisdom, hidden riches. Are you in this place? Treasures in dark places. It's dark. Others can't find it, but his light will show it to you. So there's more. There is knowing him that is the most precious. Say, thank you, Father. You're wrong. I want you to sing to him like you're singing to someone who's listening. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. And I know you are here. Yes, I know you are here.
And I know you are here.
One more time.